right, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is April 3rd, 2012, 2 days following April Fool's. We're not going to tell you any jokes tonight. We're going to be talking about some real basketball talk. I've got Gray Player with me right now.
Guest starring Gray Player. You made it sound like I'm not usually the other person on the side of the line here.
Yeah, well, maybe that's the way I look at things.
Surprise! Because you guys are gonna love this. I got Julian Burton on the other line here.
Yeah. So I
heard an April Fool's joke about April Fool's.
Go on.
I'm probably gonna say it wrong, but some famous person once said it's one day of the year that reminds us what we are the other 364 days of the year.
One day of the year? A fool?
Fools. A fool. Yeah. And the amount of time that it took for you to process that is approximately the amount of time that it takes for everyone to hear that. So, to figure that out. So, it's funny that we had, like 3.2 seconds of just dead air. Just no one talking.
I was kind of half waiting for a punchline. I guess that's part of the joke, right?
Right. Definitely part of the joke.
I guess that's actually literally the joke.
That is literally the joke.
Are you Parks and Wrecking there?
Yes, I love it. I can't stop literally.
Oh, I do it all the time too. This is literally the best podcast that we have ever done.
The best podcast. Julian Burton, it is wonderful to see you.
I could be happy to see you right now.
Could not be more. I literally couldn't be happier to be on this podcast with you right now. Let's not spend that too much time doing impersonations of
Rob Lowe.
Of Rob Lowe on Parks and Rec. Great show. Great friend of the program, Parks and Rec show.
Yeah, maybe that'll become a sponsor.
Aziz Ansari, great friend of the program.
He is. He tweets at us all the time.
Julian, what did you get out of the game last night? Did you get First of all, folks, just to make you aware, this is the last official podcast covering 2011-2012 collegiate basketball. So, Julian...
Well, kind of. Probably. You're right.
So, did you get out of the game last night what you wanted, or what... First of all, what you thought you were going to get, second of all, what you wanted.
It's definitely not what... Okay, well, what I thought I was going to get.
You know,
I thought I was going to get that.
Okay.
I thought Kentucky was going to give it somewhat of a game, but I kind of thought there was no way they were going to win.
Yeah,
Kansas to win badly. Yeah.
Well, they kind of did what they did all tournament long, is just have come back in the second half. You know, they kind of did their patented Kansas thing, but, Kentucky's a great team.
They are a great team.
Oh, I remembered my third point. I have 3 points about Kentucky that we're going to speak on tonight. I remember the third point. The third point is the discussion of Kentucky 2012 versus UNC 09.
Did you see Bobby Fraser's tweet?
No. What did he say?
He said, Kansas 2012, Michigan State 2009 would have been a great game.
Ouch. Burn, except for we beat Michigan State by more.
We did.
But at halftime, it was roughly the same score.
Maybe he tweeted that during the game, but I thought that was funny.
So, yeah, so Kentucky's good. I mean, we can... I feel the same way. I just thought they were playing well. They've been playing very well, like peaking. They haven't really struggled with anybody. You know, if they had been one of those teams that had one seeds that struggled like through a game and you were like, oh man, I don't know. They just don't look sharp. But they were looking good. They were looking good, man. They just hurt you in too many ways. And Anthony Davis is a real game changer on both ends of the court. I mean, he's hard.
But just, I think way more so on defense.
He is like John Henson on defense times 10.
Yeah.
Like he's way more able to kind of move around and affect the entire shooting area.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's a good point of conversation for, you know, UNC versus Kentucky is like, know, does Ty Lawson drive in and get those easy baskets if Anthony Davis is in there?
Yeah, I mean, Ty would figure out a way. I mean, he does it in the NBA against huge guys.
That's true. That's a good point. He does.
But that. I mean, and he's always been little. I mean, he's short. He's a little guard.
5'6", roughly.
Not quite that short.
4'9", roughly.
But I mean, I think it's so you would rather go ahead and compare. I guess it's because they're both winners. That's why you want to go ahead and compare it to the 2019. Because opposed to comparing it to,
Or
hypothetically,
well, this
put them against our 2012 team that, you know, healthy.
Well, we could do that. I mean,
but I mean, I understand. It makes sense because
Let's cover that quickly. Do you think that UNC 2012 would have beaten Kentucky?
I kind of do.
I definitely think they would have given them a close game.
I kind of think that we would have won.
I wanted to see it.
Yeah.
I wanted to see it.
I think everyone wanted to see it.
Well, no. I don't think people had the, like, I think UNC is a great team. Like,
oh,
the
they did.
We knew
they
UNC
did going was. Into the tournament. I think everyone wanted to see, before the tournament started.
Well, but Henson
was
hurt. Like, if Henson had been healthy and we had just, like, blown people out in the ACC tournament. No, I'm saying, like, if we had, like, blown out some people in the ACC, or if the season had ended right after Duke, people would have been like, oh, crap, Carolina is really, really good. You know what I mean?
But yeah, but everyone knew that Henson was hurt in the ACC tournament. I don't think anyone started doubting us because of the ACC tournament.
But no, but it just took away from our overall buzz, I think, that we got. Like, a lot of people picked Kansas to come out of that region.
A lot of people picked us to win it still.
That's true. That is true. That is true.
So, and a lot of that, and a lot of those people were picking us to beat Kentucky in the final. So, I mean, I think there was still a lot of support or a lot of thinking
that
we were going to win.
You're saying you still think if you had to pick, somebody had a gun to your head, who wins that game? A healthy UNC 2012 team versus Kentucky 2012. You think the Heels are taking it?
Yeah,
I'm not going to disagree with you, and I would rather die with the Heels than live picking Kentucky to beat us. So that's kind of a silly question.
Let's do
UNC 09. Against Kentucky. So here's the thing. So who guards Davis? I mean, who does he guard? Hansbrough?
It has to be Hansbrough.
And that, you know what? You would think that Hansbrough would just be owned. But the thing that, like, what they say is the best way to combat an incredible shot blocker like that is to get completely up inside their face, like, just take their length out of it, like, play right inside of them.
Which is
there's nobody better than that in Hansbrough.
And I think it's possible, and, you know, this was the problem, is if Davis got in any foul trouble, Kentucky really struggled a lot of the time. And if Hansbrough is playing that physical game against Davis inside, I mean, maybe Davis blocks a few, but maybe he also fouls them a few times in the first half. Because, you know, the game plan was always first thing, go to Hansbrough. Every time, so.
And then you've got Terrence Jones on Deion Thompson. I mean, I think Terrence Jones has a slight edge there.
I agree.
And then you've got Kid
Deion
Gilchrist.
Thompson wasn't an elite player.
No. You got Kid Gilchrist on Danny Green. So Kid Gilchrist is probably, like, certainly way more athletic and explosive than Danny Green was. But Danny Green had
Danny was a much better shooter than Kid Gilchrist.
Yeah, I mean, if we got out in transition, Danny's going to take a three, for sure. And that brings me to who I think would have made the biggest difference, and that is Sir Wayne Ellington.
Yeah.
Because Kentucky could hit threes. No. But they couldn't hit threes like Wayne Ellington could hit threes. Kentucky hit threes. They took a small amount of threes, and Danny Green.
And even Ty, if you leave him open, he'll shoot.
And that's how Kentucky made all their threes. They made threes when they were left open because people were compensating for other parts of their team.
Yeah.
But, like, there's nobody that I would rather have than 09 Wayne Ellington, who won most valuable player of that Final Four anyway. And a set half-court offense play, coming around a screen, pulling up for three. He makes it 100% of the time.
Okay.
I mean, obviously not 100% of the time, but...
Yeah, I don't remember Wayne Ellington as fondly as you do.
Wayne was unbelievable that Final Four.
He was the Final Four, but he was mediocre in my eyes for most of the...
Well, he had a bad shooting slump his senior year.
His junior year?
Senior year. Bad shooting slump is...
Junior year. He was a junior.
Yeah, a junior year. And then he was great as a senior. Just money. Silky. Yeah. And then you got Ty Lawson on Teague, and I think Ty is great against Teague. I just don't know how effective he is. But he was good at getting into those little middle spaces and taking jumpers. I think that's where you would have seen a lot of Ty Lawson in a game against them. But I think the Heels take him. I don't think it's a blowout. Because, I've been saying that was the most dominant team to ever play college basketball. Or at least since I watched college basketball when I was, 18 or whatever. So, since 2000. The most dominant team since 2000. And I'm not going to say that this Kentucky team was more dominant than that team.
I don't know. I don't think they would have beaten 2012.
Sure. Okay. Unfortunately, we'll never get a chance to know. It's sad. It's sad, really.
Yeah.
So here's my big points that I've been mentioning on Twitter today is that I think that there's huge significance in Kentucky winning this national championship. And here's why I think that. I think it's because John Calipari does a very specific thing by getting all these one and doneers on the same team and giving them an experience of just playing basketball, kind of like a very loose style of basketball, and hopefully, if you have enough great players on one team, winning a national championship. And it hasn't worked. It has not produced a national championship until now. And now it's kind of validated. And so I think that you're going to start to see more teams taking the approach of recruiting elite one-and-doners. And I know there's not enough to go around, like, for everyone to have a team like Kentucky does, but I think you're going to start to see little groupings of super teams formed.
Maybe. I think it's hard. I think it's still going to end up being an exception and a rarity that a one-and-done team like that wins the national championship. I still don't think it's going to happen a lot.
Yeah, but I think people are going to move to recruit that way.
Maybe
UNC won't. North Carolina will not ever recruit that way. But there are teams that will recruit that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible, but the players I agree. Teams are going to recruit that way, but I don't think they're necessarily going to find success by doing that. If these players truly are one and done players, normally they're not going to find a whole lot of success in their freshman year.
You still think, but like, that's the thing is you think about the teams that we had that had won it in 2005 and 2009 had five-star number one players rated in their class all on the same team. It wasn't a super team.
Yeah, but they were also juniors.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So, like, if you have all of those five stars as freshmen being one and doneers,
yeah,
slip going from team or like going to let's say four or five elite teams every year and creating super teams, then do you still believe that a junior laden team would have success against that freshman team? So here's what I'm saying. I think that you're going to get less junior five-star recruits on the team like Carolina. I think because
they're going to group up and go to a team where they can leave after 1 year.
They're going to group up and go to a team where they can all play together and try to be a super team.
Okay, I agree that, back to my point, I agree that that's going to happen, but I don't think that they're going to win national championships. Of course they did it this year.
Here's the point. Is that you're going to have them competing against other super teams.
There's not enough. No, there's no way.
So, but here's the thing. Is that the overall talent of the non-super teams is going to depreciate.
No, I disagree. There's not enough good players. There's not enough Anthony Davises. There's Maybe there's a few that went to Kentucky this year, but how much worse would Kentucky have been even if they didn't have Anthony Davis?
Or how much worse this is a good point. How much worse would Kentucky have been if Doran Lamb and Terrence Jones had gone to the NBA after 1 year instead of staying for sophomore year?
I mean they would have been worse.
Yeah. So here, anyway, I think that you're gonna see a movement towards that. I think that you're going to see less five-star talent kind of evenly distributed amongst teams. I think they're all going to
be. It's not evenly distributed right now.
It's not evenly. I think it's going to be even less evenly distributed.
So where are these guys? Where are they going to go? Everyone's just going to go to Kentucky.
Okay. So, however, Kentucky is getting these players, they're willing to play the game, so to speak, with what's required for a high-profile recruit these days.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings us to the article that we talked about, the Nerlens Noel article. Nerlens Noel is a center, supposed to be in the 2013 class, reclassified to 2012, right? At the end of the season. So this guy is everybody's number one target for the next year, and then he reclassifies for this year, and so people go crazy after him. They're just wanting to add him to their team. And Nerlens Noel, 1 second. Nerlens Noel opens up his recruitment to a slew of teams. He's got UNC, UConn, Syracuse, Georgetown, Kentucky, Providence, and Florida. Then he decides he's going to pick a top five team, or a set of five teams. He narrows it down to UNC, UConn, Syracuse, Georgetown, and Kentucky. And so as a UNC fan, I'm following this information, and people inside of the UNC basketball office are very optimistic. He said that he's absolutely visiting UNC, right? This was on February 28th. He was supposed to visit UNC on a weekend in early March, the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, or after the first weekend, when we were preparing for the second weekend.
Okay.
So the Monday after the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. We find out on Friday that has been canceled. That meeting has been canceled.
Okay.
Around the exact same time, this article comes out from the New York Times about high-profile recruiting and about how the shadowy world of recruiting is rarely as simple as it used to be. And the pursuit of these recruits doesn't just include college coaches. There's also fringe figures hoping to latch on to players seemingly viewed as more of a commodity than a high school basketball player. So, anyway, what I'm saying is there's teams that have decided to play this game. So then, he decides to cut his list to three schools for no particular reason, without any visits. Those schools are Syracuse, Georgetown, and Kentucky.
Okay.
Now he's probably going to go to Kentucky and replace Anthony Davis next year.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is there's a group of schools that are willing to play ball. Right? And
right.
I think NC State is another great example of one of those schools. So you've got a kid like Rodney Purvis, who doesn't get it, who's a number one rated point guard, doesn't get a scholarship offer from Duke or Carolina, doesn't even receive an offer, and he's down to Kentucky and NC State.
Right.
So you're left to think that there were factors involved in his recruitment that Carolina and Duke didn't want to have to deal with, that NC State's willing to play games with. I'm not even eliciting or suggesting the fact that those are illegal. It's
no,
possible
of course
that
not.
They are. It's
no.
possible that they are, but
no,
we can't.
Bold. No, I mean, when you compare NC State to Duke, Carolina, and Kentucky, they're playing a different game right now because they're trying
to
build their
NC
program from nothing right now. They're going
to
take whoever.
But how do they secure interest from a kid that's interested in Kentucky as well? What I'm saying is they're willing to take those kind of kids with these external factors.
Sure.
Okay. I'm not saying that those are illegal factors. I'm saying they can be, they could be, but I'm not saying that they are for sure. Okay. So NC State.
No, we don't have any reason to think that they are.
We don't have any reason to think that they are, except for when CJ Leslie showed up on his first day of school at NC State, he had a brand new car.
It sounds like you're sounding a lot like an NC State fan about Carolina right now.
Well, I don't think they have any stories about Carolina like that.
Well, not exactly like that, but just assuming a lot.
is what I'm saying.
Okay, okay.
You're
fine.
Assuming a lot.
Okay, so I'm going to assume that there are no illegal factors involved. And then these
I think
just
that's
like
the better way to go.
Character issues or coaches just don't want to deal with this stuff.
Right.
For the same reason that John Wall did not receive a scholarship offer from UNC and Duke.
And he went
to Kentucky. Yeah. So NC State's new MO and has been, but they're willing to you know, forego all of those character issues. And right now they've got essentially a super team built up for next year if CJ Leslie decides to stay.
Yeah.
And I think that they're in position, if they have a very successful season next season, to establish themselves as one of these teams where elite talent, especially this high level or high volume of elite level talent from the triangle, goes.
Yeah, but you're thinking so far ahead. This has just happened once. This
I know,
is,
but
the one and done's.
I know, but I think
this super team had just happened.
I think that the fact that they actually won one, because they'd been so close before, but everyone was
because one team won.
A super team can't win it.
Yeah, but just because this one team did it, they're still going to be an exception. NC State's not winning the national championship next year.
They could. They very well could win the national championship next year if CJ Leslie stays.
I mean, of course they could. I don't think they will.
They're rated in the top six.
I know they are. But they also are going to be starting a bunch of freshmen. We had the number one recruit out of high school 2 years ago. Did we win a national championship?
No.
You know, we've had elite classes the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Elite. Yeah. And we weren't, I mean, and they stayed, and we still didn't win.
I would say let's not use Carolina's as an example, because
we had elite classes.
Yes. However, Roy Williams, I mean, you saw he didn't start Kendall Marshall for a whole half of the season. He's very hesitant over Larry Drew.
Right.
And Carolina's offense is so systematic that I don't think it condones freshman players to, I mean, James Michael McAdoo was the McDonald's All-American, and he played, you know, okay this year.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. We don't know what these NC State recruits are going
to
be like.
But I think that's specific to Carolina is what I'm saying. I think those players will flourish in NC State system.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, we can't know because we haven't seen them have.
I mean, CJ Leslie was a 5-star, and he was good this year.
He was fantastic this year towards the end of
the year. He was good towards the end of the year. He wasn't elite. He wasn't national championship. He wasn't Anthony Davis.
Well, no one was Anthony Davis.
He was nothing. He was nothing when John Henson guarded him. We beat them three times.
John Henson. Yeah, that's true.
We beat them without John Henson.
That is true. But I do think that they're going to benefit next year from these players coming in.
Of course they're going to benefit. But the attitude right now of they're going to be this super team, and they're just going to be able to – all these super teams are going to form and win a national championship in their first year. I feel like that's going to be so rare, and I feel like we're going to forget about that idea in the next 5 years.
Well,
even though Kentucky just did it. Obviously, they just did it. I just feel like it's going to come out as an exception.
Here's the reason why I hope that we're going to forget it is because I hope that we get instilled a rule that lets players leave that want to leave, not go to college.
Okay, I have a question for you. Would you rather they did that or make them stay 2 years?
I would rather them do the both of them at the same time.
So if they come to college, they have to stay 2 years if they want to go to high school.
Yes, because then you get a college player.
Yeah.
And I don't even care if I had to pick between those two, I would pick letting the ones that wanted to go to the pros right out of the pros go. Because you're not getting a college player.
Yeah.
You're not getting a student athlete. If James Michael McAdoo decides to leave after having played 1 year of college basketball, I fully believe that he did it with the intent of being a true student athlete at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill.
And then he left after 1 year after barely playing.
Right. I don't think that, what I'm saying is I don't think he had the intent, like, I'm not
we
even
don't
going
know that.
I'm just going there for basketball and that's it.
Well, yeah, I mean, no one's going to say that. Well, maybe some people will, but
yeah,
I mean, with that argument, if that was his intent, I mean, it's pretty poor attempt at it. You know, I mean, to play, you know, 15 minutes a game the whole year and then leave and be like...
That's what I'm saying. I don't think that's the case.
I'm disagreeing. I think that his intent probably, if he does leave, I'm going to say his intent was to play for a year and go to the NBA.
Okay, that's fine. I'll give you that.
But, I mean, I hope he stays.
He also was attending classes his spring semester, which does not happen at Kentucky.
Well, our coaching staff, I think, enforces that stuff a little better, maybe.
Sure. Sure.
So if you're going to be at North Carolina, I don't think you have an option of not going to class. But it does sound like that might be the case in other places.
Sure.
So I'll definitely agree with that. But I don't know. I mean, Barnes talked a lot about, going to business school and stuff like that, when he first came here, and he's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, he almost was gone last year.
Yeah, I know. But that was always the case, is that he has a chance to come back and get his business school degree.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean... So. Yeah, I guess they can always come back. But.
I don't know. I feel like the fact that it's been validated that a team of freshmen can group together and win the national, even though this was an exceptional case.
It was so exceptional to me that it just doesn't, to me it seems so unlikely that this will happen again.
I don't know. I just think that there's going to be more players that are like, let's all play on the same team, like more 5-star recruits.
The other thing about this.
NC State is going really hard after Shabazz Muhammad.
Of course.
Well, that's all of their players, they think that they're going to get him now because, they had three McDonald's All-Americans at the game trying to recruit him.
I mean, that's part of recruiting, is the players that you already have on your team in the class.
But is that more enticing now to Shabazz Muhammad?
Of course it is.
After seeing Kentucky win.
Of course.
Okay.
I agree with your point that more teams are going to form, but I don't agree that they're going to necessarily have success. Right.
Sure. I think that if Shabazz Muhammad goes to NC State, and regardless of whether CJ Leslie stays or not, they'll play in the Final Four. Because he's that good.
Yeah, that would be miserable. I hope that doesn't happen.
I do too. So, anyway, those are my 2 points that I think that this is something very dynamic to happen to basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And until the rule is changed, I think that you're going to see... And if another team does it, if Kentucky does it next year, again, if they get Nerlens Noel, and if they get Shabazz Muhammad and somebody else, and they do the same thing next year, it's going to be, further reinforcement.
It's so unfortunate that it happened this year, because two of the number one seeds were playing hurt. Syracuse was without their best player, and
he wasn't hurt, he was recruited.
The team was not 100%.
The three teams that Nerlens Noel is now considering that he immediately cut to without having taken any visits after all of these external people started having a say in his recruiting relationship are Syracuse, Georgetown, and Kentucky. And Syracuse this year had their elite recruit have to sit out for academic issues.
I know.
I don't
making those assumptions.
I know, and it is an assumption. I'll definitely give you that. But I'm going out on a limb and saying I see that happening.
I see college basketball
going down that road. Super teams.
Yep, maybe.
So
I mean, I obviously can't say it won't, but
I think it's bad for UNC. I think it's bad for UNC because I don't think we'll ever get super teams here.
I mean, we're one of the four teams that can really recruit, though. Still,
yeah, no, we'll be good. We'll always be.
I think you're being to just immediately say Kentucky was a national championship, and suddenly North Carolina can no longer recruit.
I'm not saying we're not going to recruit. I think North Carolina could win a national championship with 4-star talent that are seniors and juniors, because it's the system that wins national championships.
There's still going to be 5-star players that are going to want to come to North Carolina. We have a history.
There still are, yes.
We'll see.
But
I mean, the other thing
it could be the fact that 5 years, 10 years down the road, they don't.
Five-star players don't equal necessarily good.
Right, one and doneers.
A, one and doneers, or B, amazing players.
Yeah, Harrison Barnes.
He's a good player. He's good.
Great.
He wasn't amazing.
Nope, it wasn't Anthony Davis.
John Henson, was he a 5-star when he came out?
Henson was.
Well, think about John Henson's freshman year. It was miserable.
Playing out of position.
Yeah, I know he was playing out of position, but
112 pounds.
We weren't winning a national championship on John Henson's back.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
No way.
I hear you. And that was a big clash for us, too. We had the number one rated point guard in Dexter Strickland, who ended up not being able to shoot.
There you go. Dexter Strickland.
But I still think that, yeah. No, I hear you. I hear you.
There's so many factors still. Yeah.
What time are we working with? 33. All right. So let's talk about, you want to talk about the two early top 25 that has Indiana number one?
Yeah, that's bold.
Kentucky. Shabazz Muhammad, Nerlens Noel. I think that if they get either of those people, they're jumping.
Oof, yeah.
Ohio State's going to be good again. State sixth. I don't have any problem with that. If CJ Leslie stays.
Here's the thing. Here's what I'll say about NC State. I think they'll fall out of that at the beginning of the year and then move back up towards the end.
Yeah.
I think they, with so many young guys, I think they're still going to have a bit of a rough start. Especially, I don't know what their schedule looks like at all, but if they play anyone good at the very beginning of the year, I think they might struggle.
They most likely don't. They never really play anybody good. Let's talk about the teams that are probably relevant to our listeners. I apologize that there's no New Zealand teams on this list, but they did not make the top 25 this year.
Did not.
Preemptive top 25.
Still haven't quite made it into the NCAA.
Although there have been
They've been trying.
Wonderful players out of New Zealand to play in the NCAA. Duke's at 15. I see them finishing higher than that. Or
of course they will.
Ranked during the year higher than they'll figure out a way.
They'll be top 10. They always are.
They'll be top 10 to start the ACC, even if they don't have anybody down low, because they'll just shoot threes.
Yep. They'll lose a few bad games, but they'll be a two seed, three seed, something like that.
Arizona's 12. I think they'll be in the top 10 easily. I think they could be in the top 5. Carolina is 11th. I think that we could be in the top 10.
I think I'm going to say a similar thing about Carolina as I did about NC State. I think we may struggle a little bit at the beginning of the year because we are going to be playing with a very different team. No Marshall, Henson, or Zeller, or Barnes. I mean, we have some players that have played together, but we're kind of missing some key pieces, especially down low.
And it's like, who's going to – I mean, we have questions. Who's going to run the point? Is James McIntyre going to be there? You know?
So I think that we could end the season very well and be a top 10 team at the end of the year. I would be surprised if we stay at 11 for the whole beginning of the year. Again, I'm not sure what our schedule is. Do we have – has that been released?
Probably. I mean, some parts of it. Yeah.
I know we played Texas again, but I don't. Yeah. Texas, they're in the top 25, aren't they? So, yeah, they're 16, so that'll be hard. But
right.
We'll see.
So if we can, if James McAdoo stays and we can score this UConn transfer, I think that the team looks good. I think the team could gel into a top 10 team.
Yeah, agreed.
And I also think that, and also make another note, congratulations to UNC recruit Joel James, who is a 3-star recruit. It's like 300 pounds when he committed, dropped 50 pounds, and is now like solid, 250, like solid muscle.
Yeah.
And won MVP of the high school All-American game. Not the McDonald's All-American game, but a different high school All-American game over the weekend in New Orleans.
There you go.
Also congratulations to fellow 2012 UNC recruit JP Tokoto for winning the dunk contest.
Is it going to be Tokoto or Tokoto?
People are going to say Dakota, but it's supposed to be Tokoto.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah. Well, same thing as Bullock. It's supposed to be...
Bullock.
Bullock, yeah. Something, whatever.
Bullock.
Bullock.
No, just Bullock.
Bullock, yeah. Not Bullock. So, and did you see the dunk? It was pretty nasty.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, I did see
good.
It.
It was good.
Yeah, so, I mean, he'll be an interesting piece on the break, on the fast break.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If he plays, which he won't, but, you know, a couple years from now, he'll be interesting. But let's see. I don't think there's anything new on the McAdoo watch. I think that it's still...
Want him to say something so that Oriaki can know. I want him to say that he's staying so that Oriaki comes. I really feel like that's going to be a factor.
I do, too. I think that, right now he's in the top 10. Some boards have him going 7th. But he's also been taken off a lot of the draft boards, a lot of the mock draft boards.
If you're an NBA team, would you pick James Michael McAdoo in the top 10 right now?
They would have picked him last year, top 5.
Yeah, would you? But now that we've seen him play, would you pick him in the top 10?
I watch a lot more Carol. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know that much about basketball players and how they progress, because the dude only played like 5 minutes a game for most of the year. Like, hey, you can't get into your groove and be a great player. And then he played well at the end, so it's like, okay.
Yeah, he didn't play amazing. No, he wasn't John Henson.
No. But John, he's a different player than John Henson.
Yeah, but I still wanted Henson on the floor.
Yeah, I did too.
If James Michael McAdoo is going top 10 in the draft, I mean, I obviously
Henson's
understand.
Not. John Henson's not going top 10 in the draft.
Right. I mean, I understand that is an upside.
He has the body. He's got the body for the NBA more than Henson does. Henson's going to get owned in the NBA.
I don't know about that. Well, he's not. We'll see. He will get pushed around some, but he's got so much length. I think he'll still be able to find a role.
He needs to learn how to shoot a 3-pointer.
He can still. He's got that jumper inside the 3-point line.
He does have a decent jumper.
He's been hitting that pretty well.
He needs to keep hitting it.
And I think he'll still against if there's any. Well, I'm just at undersized centers. I don't know if they exist in the NBA. But, I mean, yeah. He still will have some shot-blocking ability.
Sure.
I mean, he was ACC Defensive Player of the Year.
He'll at least get to go up against Terrence Jones and Anthony Davis. I mean, there you go.
Yeah.
A couple of players. Or C.J. Leslie, if he goes. So.
Yeah. All of which,
I think a big factor is James Michael McAdoo returning.
Oh, it's huge.
I think that's huge for us, so.
Yep. I think it's almost make or break. To have to start two freshmen, we are going to look horrid at the beginning of the year if we have to do that.
Inside, yeah.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, I think our whole team will look horrid because of that.
Right. Because you can't dump it into Hubert and Bryce Johnson and Joel James and win basketball games.
No.
So.
And, I mean, we'll have, yeah, no, there's no way.
Especially because that's what Roy Williams prefers to do. He really did whiff a lot on 2012 Big Men. Which is why Nerlens Noel was going to be such a great solution to the problem, because he was our number one big man recruit for 2013. And then, you know, some external factors just caused our recruitment to completely disseminate.
Yeah.
Dissipate. I don't know. Do you think that adequately covers our 2011-2012 basketball coverage?
I think so. I mean, we've been talking about 13 for a while now, so.
Did you watch the start of Game of Thrones?
I watched a little bit of it, and then I realized I wanted to go ahead and get myself through the second book, because they were like going through stuff, and I was like, oh, they're moving fast. And I'm like, I guess it is only 12 episodes. And I'm like 3/4 of the way through, but I can probably finish in like 2 weeks, so I'm kind of trying to finish it up, and then I'll start watching it.
All right, good deal. Good to know. I need to get in and watch it tonight.
Yeah.
So
I love the theme music.
And then we've got Bachelor Pad. Yeah. Is the intro different this year?
No.
Than last year?
Well, I don't know if the graphics are. The song is the same. I didn't really pay attention to the.
Okay. I'll give it a check when I'm watching tonight. I've heard it's good. I've heard Mad Men's good.
Yeah, I've been watching. Well, I watched the first episode. I'm gonna watch the second one this week.
Yeah. And then, you know, we've got Bachelor Pad next week that we can start talking about, which is great.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel like 40 minutes is not enough, Julian. I feel like we need to give these people at home a question.
Yeah, so, you want a question?
You told me you saved one up. I have some right here that I can look through, but if you
I have three.
Geez.
Well, but we don't have to ask all three. I'm trying to figure out which would be the most entertaining for our listeners. The one that I had last week, I mean, part of the reason I didn't ask it is because I didn't feel like it would be quite as dramatic.
Yeah.
I've got one that I kind of made up.
Give it to me.
Well, I don't know how much discussion it'll lead to. All right, so you're in a room, a 30 by 30 foot room, 30 square foot.
All right, hang on. Let me concentrate. All right, I'm in a room.
30 by 30.
Feet. Okay, it's a big room.
And, basically, someone is going to put, well, I'm trying to think how to frame it. There's going to be rattlesnakes in the room.
Okay, so this is Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Now, you get $1 million for every rattlesnake that you catch and put into a bag. Just barehanded. And if you get bit, there's a 65% chance that you'll die.
65.
How many snakes do you try and catch, if you try and catch any?
None. I don't try to catch any. I mean, Now, I might try to catch the first one. I might, like, you know how you see people catch snakes. They, like, you, like, stand there, and you, like, look at the tail, and then you grab the tail, and then you swing your body in the opposite direction. You kind of flail it around like that.
Yeah. And then, well, those are, like, big snakes, though.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. I don't know if you throw them.
I don't know about rattlesnakes.
But they curl up on themselves. I mean, like, you're gonna get bit.
It's not a constrictor, though.
No. But, like, snakes have the ability for, like, if you're holding their tail, they can put their mouth right on your hand immediately.
Yeah. So you're saying zero?
I'm saying I'm gonna stand around. I'm gonna look. Like I'm predicating an attack.
Yeah.
At least to save face with the women who could be watching through a single glass mirror, and a one-way mirror, and I think that I'm gonna eventually just be like, you know what? I might try to kick. Can I kick one into a bag?
Yeah, you just get it into the bag.
No tools allowed.
Right. What if it was $10 million a snake?
Oh, jeez. I'm going to try a whole heck of a lot harder before I give up if it's $10 million. This thing is like 65%. I mean, for $10 million, like, I might ride that 35% chance. You made it a lot more enticing for $10 million.
Yeah, I like to find breaking points.
Here's a question. Okay, give me yours. Go ahead, give me yours.
How many snakes I go for?
Yeah, we'll start off with the original questions.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's the question is, if you get one in, do you go for a second?
Well, if you get one in successfully.
I think if you get one in successfully, you're kind of riding an emotional high. And then you might be a little foolish, and you might try to go for a second when you should have quit while you were ahead.
The other way to frame the question is to say, you have to say how many snakes you're going to catch before you get into the room. And that's how many snakes are in there?
Yeah, and I would say zero.
And then if you don't catch any, even if you don't catch the total amount, you don't get any money.
Easy. Can I use the bag to catch the snake?
Yeah.
Oh, that just changed the game. That just changed the game. Oof. If I could have them drop $10 million a snake, three snakes into the room, and then I could lure them away from each other.
Yeah.
Like, I would stand around. Like,
trying to hunt you. I think they're kind of just trying to protect themselves.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I would poke at it, like, make a move, like lunge at it to get him to come towards me some.
Yeah.
And then I'd do it for the other ones and get them all in corners.
Yeah.
And then I would use the bag and I'd lunge. And when they lunge, I would snatch them up into the bag. Because once you get them in the bag, they can't bite you through the bag, right?
No, it's a bite.
So once you get them in the bag, you just grab it as tight as you can. And you just wiggle until they go into the bag.
Yeah.
But then it's like you have to open the bag again to get the other one.
Yeah.
So you got the chance of the other first one coming out and get. I think I'm going for one. I think I'm going for one snake. $10 million for one snake. What about? Okay, give me yours.
Yeah, I think that I would. Well, it for me it changes a lot if it's $1 million or $3 million or $10 million.
Well, right,
if it's $10 million, I'm only going to do one.
If it's $1 million, you're going to do 10.
No, I probably would do like 3. Oh, I'd probably try and do 3.
How many are in the room?
I didn't think through all the details.
What if there's 50 in the room? You're going to try to catch 3 still? That's a lot of snakes to navigate while you're trying to catch.
Yeah, I didn't envision it being like just the floor lined with snakes.
No, I'm not saying the floor's lined. I'm saying there's like a heap of snakes in the middle of the room.
That might be easier to catch one. You're really quick about it.
Might is a pretty risky word to use in this situation.
I think I would try and get 3. I mean, I don't know. 65% chance of dying.
Yeah.
It'd be hard.
I've already mentioned last week how sickly I am on a general basis. So
you feel like the percentage might be higher for you?
Yeah. I feel like I'm immunocompromised.
I've got another question that might be better.
Do I have to do it right now? Because my allergies are flaring up right now.
You need to go.
No. I'm just saying, do I have to catch the snakes right now?
Oh. No, not right now.
Okay.
It's hypothetical.
I'm washing down in Zyrtec with a beer. I'm doing what every man, good man in North Carolina is doing right now.
I've got one more. This is, I think I found this somewhere. It might have been a classroom question. I'm not sure, though.
Okay.
But I definitely didn't make it up. But it's, if you had to choose, and I think this is maybe kind of more commonplace question, but if you had to choose between living in Europe for a year.
Yeah. On a $2,000 a month stipend.
Or going to the moon for 10 minutes.
Europe.
Yeah. I think I choose the moon.
Well, it depends on what the stipend is in Europe. Because $2,000 a month is not... See, that's not a lot.
No, it's not a lot at all.
Dollars, too, not euros.
Well, we'll just say it's 2,000 euro. Just pretend... Helps. Just accept... Just kind of pretend like you're living in America on $2,000. That so compared to that.
Yeah, and you have to find a place to stay, like... an apartment for like a month that you can sublet for like, you know, $500 to $900.
Yeah.
And then you don't work, so what do you do all day?
Wait, are you finding a subletter?
Or you sublet from someone.
Yeah, for a year?
In different cities.
Oh, you're moving around.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely moving around. There's no
can
way
just
I
stay in hostels.
You could say, how expensive are hostels?
15, 20 euro a night.
So you're talking about 600 euro a month?
Yeah.
That's not terrible.
I mean, it's not nice inside, but...
Right. But it gets the job done. That's the thing, is like, if you're not working during the day, you're spending money, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're on a budget.
No, the moon, though, like, the moon is
I just
great.
Feel like it would be life-changing to see Earth from the moon for 10 minutes.
Yeah, it would make a lot cooler story to be like, yeah.
Not even just the story, but to get the perspective of seeing Earth
you
from
think
the
that's
outside.
Gonna change your life and how you look at things?
Yeah.
How?
Because, think about, I always, you know that feeling where you're like, I get this sometimes.
This is gonna get good.
I get this sometimes, where, like, you're doing something mundane, like you're in the shower or something, and you kind of realize that you're...
Well, first of all, there's nothing mundane about when I take a shower. It is extraordinary. I love my shampoo and conditioner products, I love my loofah, and I love my body wash.
No, you're right. I mean, shower is one of my favorite times of the day.
Highlight of my day.
But I guess it's a time when I start thinking about stuff. So maybe a mundane task wasn't a great example. Anyways... So you're thinking, and then you kind of realize that you're just on this, like, circle or a spherical planet with all these people, and then it's just, like, going outwards. There's just nothing for, like, a really long ways, and then there's a bunch of stuff, but then there's, like, the edge of the universe, according to science.
Yeah,
and then what's outside of that? And it's just, like, if that, like, mind-blowing feeling of, like, whoa.
So here's the thing, though. You're going to another circle. That's not that far away from this circle.
Yeah, but I think that feeling would be like times 100 to be outside of the Earth and realize that every single person you know is on that planet.
Yeah, I mean, it would be pretty cool.
They're all there. They're like hanging out, playing Xbox,
can
watching
you see
Bachelor.
It while you're, can you see it while you're standing on the moon?
I sure hope so. That's the whole reason I want to go.
Okay,
if I was on the wrong side of the moon... I'd be pissed.
But what if you saw from the rocket ship? Would it have the same effect?
Well, I mean, I guess, actually.
I think standing on the moon and having time to look would be a lot different than being in a rocket ship.
I mean, I hope so. But, I mean, I still think you would get a similar feeling.
I hope so, because I'm headed to the moon.
I get 10 minutes.
I have actually been awarded this challenge by a strange gentleman. Yeah.
So, do you still go Europe?
Probably not. I don't know. Like, I could have a lot of fun in Europe.
Yeah.
And I haven't been. Like, you've been to Europe more than I have. Mm-hmm. A lot more. So there's like a lot of things that I would want. There's a lot of places I would hop. I'd go to a different place every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And have a large backpack.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
be a hippie for a year.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't appeal to me at all. I mean, like a backpack that I can carry a suit in. As a suit compartment to it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Europe would be pretty fun. Probably have some more experience. I don't know.
Yeah, it is. It's just different types of experiences, I guess.
Yeah.
One being out of this world, if you will.
Hi-oh. I wish we had sound effects here in this booth.
Chris,
can you get on that?
Get that sound effect? No. Did you not? You didn't cue them yet? Okay. No, I mean, he hasn't cued them.
He didn't know that you were going to be dropping this insane, hilarious comments like that.
Okay. I didn't know. I didn't think you were going
to say puns. Puns, that's what they're called. Insane puns. I don't know.
Great. I kind of hope. I just thought about this for the future. And I don't know how this came up in my mind. But we need to cover Downton Abbey when it comes back on. And I need you to catch up before it.
Yeah, I don't know how I can get it.
You might have missed out on it free on PBS.com.
Right.
I don't know. They had the first season on Netflix for a while. Okay. Maybe that way. Do you have it streaming?
I might start a Netflix account because I have a coupon for a free night or a free month.
It's like it's very rich in terms of discussion points.
Good, I love it. Let's do it. Yeah. When does it come on?
Not for a while.
When does it come on organically?
I mean, it's not for another year now.
I mean, what time of year does it come on?
I don't know. It's in England.
In England. So
it's different here.
It's in England.
I don't know. I think it's like a year. I don't know if there's. I don't know what the season is. It did just end. Yeah.
The first season?
No, it was the second. But the first season was only 6 episodes, so.
Okay, alright. I'm in. Yeah. Sign me up.
And a lot of the episodes end up being like an hour and a half long.
So our podcast listeners who are going to hang around till next year, this time next year, talk about Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
I think that'll do it, Joanne. Let's cut this bad boy off before the hour mark.
Yeah.
Wait, how's Tallahassee? How's life down there?
It's okay. Yeah. I mean, school's really kind of the last push, last three weeks.
When are you done?
Last day of class is April 20th.
Gotcha.
And then I have, it's exam week, but it's not really exams. I have like a couple other assignments due the week after. So I think I'm completely done. April 27th.
Okay.
April 27th, yeah.
Okay, good. Well, I'll be counting down the days with you.
No, I mean, I'm going to try. I'm heading up to North Carolina, probably the next day.
Uh-huh.
And I might, there's still a chance I'll be there all summer. So.
Right. Have you called that guy yet?
No, but I've been talking to Raleigh about it.
Okay, nice. Mm-hmm. Give him a call. Let's make it happen.
Yeah.
I might have a place May 1st for you to stay in.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Going to look at two places tomorrow, so.
I love how we're just having, our normal conversation. It's still recording.
Yeah. Hey, people want to know.
They feel like they're a part of it, right?
Yeah, this is a question and answer session. Like, get to know your host, your podcast host.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, cool. let's not give the people too much. Let's keep them wanting more.
Let's not show them all our cards.
Right. Not all of our daily life cards. Well, listen, have a great rest of the night and week. And we'll get up next week about the Bachelor Pad.
Yeah, is it coming on Monday?
I think it does.
All right, sounds good.
Hey, have a great Easter weekend as well.
As you as well.
All right, send us out, big man.
All right, thanks again for joining us. Navy by Nature, great player Julian Burton. Have a great week.